Good morning. It is time to get up with a Bronco breakup. Russ sent to the bench. Is he done in Denver? Hear what he has to say about it. Plus, Kansas City in crisis. And Travis Kelce is fired up. Did you hear what he had to say yesterday? We're going to play it for you. We're all over that. And a Saturday night showdown. Should Dak and Dallas be on upset alert as the Lions roar into Texas? It is Get Up on a Thursday morning, and we got a full house here. I'm Dan Graziano in for Greeny. We got D. Wood. We got Bart. We got Kimberly. We got Harry Douglas.
And
he's got a new hat. Adam Schefter is going to join. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that boy bad, baby. Y'all know what today is.
He's got a that boy bad hat. Adam Schefter is here to talk about the big NFL news of the day, and that is, of course, exactly where we start. The Denver Broncos are benching 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback Russell Wilson in a move that could end his stay in Denver. Jarrett Stidham will get the start against the Chargers on Sunday. Denver has lost 3 of its last 4 games, while the 35-year-old Wilson has thrown for over 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, and just 8 interceptions this season. Here is Broncos head coach Sean Payton on the reason why.
I understand all the speculation and everything that surrounds a move like that. And I could tell you, look, we're desperately trying to win. And sure, in our game today, there are economics and all those other things, but the number one push behind this, and it's a decision I'm making, is to, you know, get a spark offensively.
Late Wednesday night, Russell Wilson posted this on X, formerly Twitter. God's got me looking forward to what's next. So what's next for us is to hear from Adam Schefter. And Adam, we heard what Peyton had to say about it. We see Russell's reaction there. So what more can you tell us about why this move happened and why it happened now?
Denver's saying, Dan, that it is a football decision. But if it's a football decision, you have to wonder about that, because certainly economics absolutely play into this. Sean Payton acknowledged that. And let's keep in mind that Russell Wilson has a $37 million injury guarantee due on the fifth day of the new league year in March. That means if he were to get hurt in the final 2 weeks of the season, Denver would be on the hook for an additional $37 million in guaranteed money on top of the $39 million that they already owe him in guaranteed money. So there is a lot of money going to Russell Wilson either way, but the Broncos here are limiting their exposure to him. And we've seen this play out in Las Vegas with Jimmy Garoppolo this season, with Derek Carr last season, in Indianapolis with Matt Ryan. Other teams have done something similar. The Broncos are now using a play that they've seen before run in other cities. And as one person said to me yesterday, it's much better to be hired, as Jarrett Stidham was with Sean Payton, as opposed to being inherited, as Russell Wilson was with Sean Payton. Sean Payton didn't trade for Russell Wilson. He inherited him from the previous regime. The Broncos committed a lot of picks to Seattle, a lot of resources and money to Russell Wilson. And I think when Sean Payton had the chance to work with Russell Wilson this year, and Russell played well, he decided he wasn't worth what they would have to pay him in future years, which now leads to the end of his time in Denver after this season.
And just so we're clear, Adam, just so the audience is aware, like he's talking about benching him for the last 2 games, but Russell is done in Denver, right? What happens? What's the move that they make with Russell here over the next couple of months?
Well, Dan, here's the situation. Essentially, there are always things that could change, but as it stands this morning, it is tracking for Russell's time in Denver to be done. He's got a no-trade clause in his contract, so he's not going to agree to any trade to essentially help out the Broncos. So he would have to be released before the fifth day of the league year at some point, any point this offseason.
All right, Adam, stay right there. We want to bring this back out to the desk and get everybody's thoughts on this. Kmart, when you heard this news, what was your thought?
That everyone who thought this was going to be a marriage where Sean Payton has to save Russell Wilson and they will try to win a Super Bowl together, that was misguided. It is clear based on how this situation has unfolded that Sean Payton came to this organization understanding that he had scapegoats everywhere. if the season doesn't go well, well, then I blame the quarterback. Or you blame the GM who traded for him, gave up all those picks, gave up all that money. I think Sean Payton doesn't jump out of retirement unless he has some sort of understanding with ownership that he gets to, he's going to win Super Bowls whether it's with Russ or not. Like, that's his directive. Turn the Broncos into a winning franchise again. And he can do it however he chooses. And the fact that money, the picks, all that is not an issue right now for them, that tells you Sean Payton's running this. This was never about them having to be married at the hip.
Yeah, so when you hear D. Wood, you hear Payton talking about it, and obviously he references that there are other factors, but he insists that it's a football decision. What were your...
That's a Kmart eye roll. Wow.
Are you buying it is my question.
See, when he came out his mouth and he said that we need a spark, and he used the name Jared Stidham.
Oh,
that's when I was like,
Jared doing
bruh,
you.
That's when I had to say, come on, man. Like, we can't even have a serious discussion. And you talking about we need a spark with Jared Stidham as the quarterback. This is clear. Like, listen, Sean Payton got full autonomy of this whole thing, just like Kimberly laid out. Russell Wilson was never his guy from jump. All this discussion that we had coming in was, you know, how would Russell Wilson, you know, fit
this
into
the guy
fit in,
that can turn
would fit in, would fit into the way that Sean Payton is used to how guys, you know, how he's been accustomed to guys quarterback playing quarterback, the quarterback position. He never wanted that guy as his quarterback. Never.
Look at the
so
screen.
We were like
look
literally
the
wasting that. Oh,
look,
this look, right here. Listen. Look.
This hit
I,
me.
Yeah, for me, like, my thing is this. I wish Russell Wilson had went back at him because Russell Wilson has cachet in this league to be undressed like this on national television is degrading. It's ridiculous. And so I wish Russell Wilson had went back at him. But to say that this was purely a football move to spark our team, come on, Sean Payton, cut the crap there, man. Come on. Nobody's believing that.
I think for me, it's more so on the business side, right? And I think that's a side that fans need to tap in a little bit more, too, because there's a lot of feelings involved in it and seeing Russell Wilson being benched or whatnot. But when you think about that $37 million that they would have to pay if he got hurt, there's a business side to all of this stuff that goes on when it comes to upper management. But it also, like Kmart said, like you said, Woody, when Sean Payton was in that meeting, and I wish we was in there, and Kmart, you did a great job of saying this morning, we all wish we was in there to see what Sean Payton said to ownership, but I think it's kind of coming out what he actually told ownership.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to try this thing for 1 year. Russ is not my guy, but we're going to try it, and if it doesn't work, I'm moving on. And ownership had to back that in order for Sean Payton to have this job right now currently. So he does have a lot of power right now when you look at the Denver Broncos and you look at their front office as well.
And that's no small thing. I mean, like, with what they traded to get him, what they paid to sign him, all the dead money coming the next 2 years, I mean, that's a big move for ownership to make.
It's probably the worst trade in NFL history up to date, and you think about the compensation. But the reality of it is, you know, what I really don't like about it is how players, because this happened to RG3 as well, and it's happened over and over again. What I don't like is the fact that coaches' contracts are guaranteed. They got no skin in the game. They're not paying any physical consequences. You look at what's going on with the Raiders right now, and they're paying guys $92 million not to coach. But then when players come in and the team commits to them, then they can find a way to dump their cash and dump their money. We all know what this was about, right? And this could be Sean Payton trying to get more control and take over the entire thing and be the general manager, because at the end of the day, the general manager has to be held accountable for all the compensation that he gave up. Now, we heard Antonio Pierce talk about, you know, his resume, and he can come here with this nice, beautiful PowerPoint and talk about what he would do with the team and how he would do with the team. We know Sean Payton probably came with one. And it had to include Russell Wilson because management would have never hired him if he didn't say that he can come here and fix Russell Wilson. So now you're giving up on that in 1 year. And we know how it is. When coaches come in, they have a 5-year plan. And so sometimes you have to break it down to the bare bones to build it back up. And this is part one of that transformation where they're going to come and try and dump a lot of salary. They can eat it, right? They're going to say, we're not going to be able to win for maybe 2 to 3 years. We see Kansas City is starting to come back to reality because they're underneath the pressure of Mahomes' contract. So they're saying, let's dump all this salary and let's get rid of him. And it's going to be painful for a couple of years, and then we'll build it back up. But this is the thing. And what Sean Payton's going to find, and this organization knows all too well, since John Elway left, it is hard to draft and build through the draft with a quarterback, and they're going to find out how tough that is, and then Sean Payton's going to run out of people to blame, because if it wasn't Russell Wilson, it would have been Vance Joseph they was trying to throw under the bus, because the defense is what stunk at the beginning of this year, not the offense.
Adam, jump back in here.
Well, here's what I would say, Dan. This is a team now that will probably miss the playoffs now for an eighth straight year, which is unacceptable in the Rocky Mountain area. People love that team, love that franchise, and are used to success. Eight straight seasons, not going to the playoffs. Okay, so now they're going to be moving on from Russell Wilson. They have Jarrett Stidham on a two-year contract worth $10 million. It's a very friendly deal, and they like Jarrett Stidham. And they think, and we'll see if they're right, they think that Jarrett Stidham can play well for them, despite what D. Wood says, and he can win. So we'll see if that's accurate. But if he can't, then maybe you go sign another free agent quarterback and you pay him $10 million. You give him a Baker Mayfield type deal, or you begin to draft another guy. But the fact of the matter is, you can move on from Russell Wilson. You could bench him today. But tell me who the quarterback is going to be tomorrow to help end this playoff drought of 8 years in Denver when there's no solution in sight. Now, it'll be up to Sean Payton to figure that out. But let's go back to what he did in New Orleans. He identified a guy at a time when nobody thought he was going to be very good, when nobody thought he could bounce back, when everybody thought that Drew Brees was an average quarterback at that point in time. He hadn't shined in San Diego, and he brought him in, and he made him excel. And I think there's a feeling that that's what Sean Payton can do. We'll see if he can with a quarterback that he identifies. Well, right now, they're going to give Jarrett Stidham the first try. Let's see if there's a free agent quarterback out there. Let's see if there's a quarterback they can draft out there. But it's okay to move on from Russell Wilson now. The fact of the matter is, who's got next?
Right.
And that is critical to the success of Sean Payton in the long term.
I really think it's amazing when you think about it. Like, they're 7-8. That's still in the mix in the playoff hunt in the AFC. 2 weeks ago, they're sitting there a game behind the Chiefs in the division. So Sean Payton obviously made the decision that you cannot – he's not going to be able to win a Super Bowl, to compete for a Super Bowl title with this quarterback. When you look at Russell Wilson, where he stands right now, do you think there is a team out there that can compete for a Super Bowl with him as their quarterback?
No, Russell Wilson, I think his pride is too big to sit up and go to the Joe Flacco route. I expect Russell Wilson pretty much to be on Dancing with the Stars next year and star Russ Inc. And I'm being serious. Like, do we see a guy like Russell Wilson with his ego, the guy that drives around with a tuxedo in the back of his trunk to grind it out and start over from scratch and compete, you know, without a guarantee of a starting quarterback?
He's got $39 million coming his way next year no matter what.
39 Gucci. Million reasons why.
Yeah, he Gucci.
He
Gucci.
Tweets, God's got me. So does his agent. That was a pretty nice move.
I got him last year.
We've got so much more on this as the show goes along. Thanks, Adam, for joining us on Get Up this morning. Fantastic stuff. When we come back, Kansas City is in crisis and Travis Kelce is bleeping fired up. Did you hear what he had to say yesterday? We're going to play most of it for you. Plus, the D in Dallas stands for drama. They couldn't possibly lose three in a row, or could they? We'll tell you why one of our analysts says they're on upset alert.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
We are back on Get Up, and Travis Kelce is fired up about the Chiefs' struggling offense. On the New Heights podcast he does with his brother Jason, Travis did not hold back when Jason asked him about his helmet-smashing meltdown on Christmas Day and his coach's response to it. Listen to this.
He wanted to see the fire in me, and I reacted in a bad way. He wanted to just get the best out of me. And right now, I'm just not playing my best football, and I got to lock the in and be more accountable for him, be more accountable for my teammates. I got to keep my cool, man. It's not just one guy. It's not just me playing like dog shit. Not just us not being able to get the run game going. It's not just us not being on the same page passing wise. Everybody's in this thing together. Everybody at some point isn't being accountable. Everybody's just got to do their job.
That's a lot of bleeps, right?
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. He's right.
All right.
Literally, their issues are everywhere. Everywhere is to blame, from coaches to players. And it's been the same issues. We've been talking about drops for 16 weeks. We've been talking about this offense just doesn't seem, it seems disjointed. It seems like the thing is with this roster, it's not that much different. Juju's not here and the tackles, and that's a big thing. I understand that. But the Chiefs aren't the only team that has either lost guys due to injury or just, you know, has guys have moved on and they have makeshift offensive lines or offensive lines that are playing below their expectation. Like, other teams make adjustments. And this has been 17 weeks now waiting for the Chiefs to make an adjustment. What's up, Bishop? Talk to me. What's going on?
No, I was
going to
say the your second residence, Cleveland.
I know.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, like, all the credit in the world, because they did not, when things looked bleak, offensive line, they have had so many offensive line injuries. Forget about losing Nick Chubb and all that. But other teams, to your point, figure out a way. And here we are looking at Kansas City wondering when they're going to figure it out.
Let me ask y'all this. When have y'all ever questioned what the Kansas City Chiefs offensively, what their identity was? Do you know what their identity is right now?
They need to run the ball.
I'm saying, but like, we don't know what their identity is, right? And that's crazy to say. And as far as Travis Kelce, he was the same guy about 2 weeks ago that blamed the media for things. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
So when it comes to Travis Kelce, to get things started, number one, is you're one of the leaders on the team. It starts with you. Like, you can't have 7 drops in which he has right now on this season. Mm. You can't be throwing your helmet on the sideline. You have to lead by an example with your play and with your actions. So I would like for him to say in that clip, I understand that everything collectively has to come together, but I want to hear him say, you know what, it starts with me as well. I got to be better. If I play better, the rest of everyone else will follow suit, because he hasn't been the same Travis Kelce we've seen in the past. What we're witnessing right now, he has 1 touchdown in the last 8 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I was to ask anybody that, exactly.
Yeah.
So he has to be better, along with the offensive tackles, along with their turnover issues, along with the drops that they have on the seat. See, it's not just one thing.
Right.
It's a magnitude of things, and I don't know if it can get fixed.
That's what
before
I'm saying.
Playoff time.
Right? Like, if there were 3 months left, that'd be one thing, but it's week 17. We heard Mahomes the other day talk about, we just got to clean it up. Like, can they actually get it together?
Work like that.
Let me tell you something. You can't flip a switch when you're getting hit with haymakers.
Ooh.
You can't flip a switch when you're getting hit with haymakers. You know what the Raiders did? They came in and gave them haymakers. Okay? We can talk about the drops, this and that. But when you get beat up physically, there's no coming back from that. And that's what I saw. I'm sitting back watching the game. I'm like, oh my God, like, these dudes are getting punked. Like, the Las Vegas Raiders came in in their house, put their feet up, got some drink
Max
out of,
Crosby
got some
the
stuff
fridge,
on the refrigerator,
yes.
All of that.
Okay.
You're like, they did all of that, Dan. Like, when that type of stuff starts happening,
yeah.
There is no coming back from that,
okay.
None.
In fairness, though, I agree, Bishop, I agree. But can the first lady ask one question?
Sure, go ahead.
Is their quarterback not number 15? Do we not get we're now saying that Patrick
he's not playing his best.
He's not playing his best ball either.
I know it's not his best. I know. But part of it is the fact that he is pressing. He's literally him and Kelce are exhausted and frustrated because Patrick's literally trying to scream, shout on the sideline, telling his offensive line, do your job, be better, be dogs and all that, and nothing's happening. But again, can you really count out the Chiefs?
Yes.
All right.
I'm going off of what I see.
I gotcha.
What you show me on tape is your resume. That's all I can go off. I'm not going off of last year or anything because like Coach Belichick used to tell us, each year, each team is different. Yeah. I'm going off of what I see right here, right now.
But they're still going to be in the playoffs. They're still division champ.
Right. And 15 is still their quarterback.
It's a harsh reality. Right. And, you know, dynasties fall. They always do. And windows open and windows close. And we're witnessing the end of a dynasty, of an era. Right. Because the reality is they missed on Sky Moore. Mm-hmm. When you start to pay guys the top end money and reward them for the success of the team, when you pay the tight end the highest paid tight end, when you make the D tackle the highest paid DN, when you make the quarterback the highest paid quarterback, then that credit card receipt is due. And it costs you Frank Clark. It costs you Tyreek Hill. And the issue is you have to replace these players. We're watching the same thing happen in Golden State, right? The end of an era when people get old. I don't know how old you were, Woody, or what season it was, you, Harry, when you realized that you weren't the same person that you was just 8 months ago. I just had his arm over move. Well, you witnessed it firsthand. Could nobody stop it? And one day, a young dude, Bilal Powell, caught me underneath my armpit. I'm like, yo, this work on everybody. I'm like, yo, I ain't the same dude. Like, he caught me in my armpit. I always win, son. But now what we're seeing is Kelce can't create that separation. He can't be special. Mm. And what happens is that receipt cost you Orlando Brown Jr. And what happens is now you got to become a force multiplier. That's why last year's Super Bowl was so important. Because it was the last run. So now you're trying to, you know, beat him with trickery. Right? Because now you can't go up and just beat teams because you don't have the best players. When you go there and you look at the players and you say, man, we're better here, we're better here, we're better here. So that means Mahomes has to be special. And that's the issue. We're watching them age just like the Golden State Warriors. This window's been open for 6 years. And it's because Patrick Mahomes was so cheap for so long. We're going to witness the same thing in Philadelphia once they buried under the pressure with Jalen Hurts and they lose those guys that have been there. That's the last run there with them with Kelce, Graham, and Cox as well. So this is where we are. And this is a harsh reality when, like, you watch and you can't beat teams the way you used to off of talent.
The way around it is you got to draft and get contributions from those guys right away.
Well,
right?
That happened on the defensive side.
It did, right. Last year.
But they missed on the offensive side.
Offensively,
and who knew,
it didn't happen.
And who knew that Juju Smith-Schuster was the linchpin?
Yeah,
well, they just haven't got
what they couldn't afford to keep him.
Exactly.
He wasn't even that expensive.
They just haven't got what they need out of those second-round picks from the last couple of years.
And it
is showing up. Obviously, we're going to keep talking about the Chiefs for a while. But when we come back, more on the divorce in Denver. We'll tell you what's next Russell Wilson.
My goodies.
Which team should be calling the Broncos to make a deal? And we're going to have our GM, Mike Tannenbaum, here to talk about all this. When we come back, you're watching Get Up on ESPN.
808.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back on Get Up with the stunning news out of the NFL yesterday. Broncos benching quarterback Russell Wilson in a move that likely ends his time with the team. Denver's lost three of his last four games, and yesterday, when he was explaining this decision, Sean Payton, their head coach, was asked if Wilson was being scapegoated for the struggling offense. Here's what Payton had to say about that.
I can't replace the entire offensive line. I can't bring in five new receivers. And if it continues over a period of time, then there'll be another guy here talking to you as well. I can just assure you one thing. I'm just interested in winning.
Just to remind you what the Broncos gave up to acquire Russell Wilson. It barely fits on the screen. They had to use an extra small print here to see all this. The 10 combined players and picks were the most in any trade since the infamous Herschel Walker deal in 1989 between the Cowboys and the Vikings. And then remember, they signed him to a contract extension on top of that. Here to talk more about this is former NFL GM and current Millennium Falcon runner, Mike Tannenbaum. Mike T, what are you doing?
Where are you?
And what was your reaction to this move?
I'm channeling my inner Paul Feinbaum. I'm at the JetBlue Lounge here in Fort Lauderdale, heading back up. But Dan, this will go down arguably as the worst trade in the history of the NFL because in addition to the graphic you showed, next year, the Denver Broncos, presumably when they release, Russell Wilson will have $85 million on their cap and no player. So when you think about two ones, two twos, Drew Lock, Noah Fant, and $85 million in dead money, that will go down in its totality as the worst trade in the history of our league.
And look, the Broncos obviously have a lot to figure out still in terms of, you know, how they're going to get a quarterback given those financial constraints that result from all that dead money. They have a lot to figure out. But I'm curious, Mike T, about the other side of this and Russell Wilson, sort of what happens next for him. Do you think he ends up somewhere else? Or are there going to be teams that are interested in bringing him on at this point in his career?
You know, Dan, I think you look at a situation like Baker Mayfield, who was a veteran that had to move on, obviously went to the Rams and has now done really well in Tampa. So I look at teams like the Atlanta Falcons, the New Orleans Saints, where he could go in next year and compete in a meaningful way to be a starter. Because in fairness, he has not played poorly. This is obviously a financial decision. They didn't want to have guaranteed money into 2025 with Russell Wilson. So I think he'll have a chance to compete. The other team, if I was the New York Giants, I would have him and Daniel Jones compete and let the best player play. But he will have a chance in a Baker Mayfield sort of way next year to be on a team and possibly start.
We can't handle a Russ residency in New York. We can't. That's too much for us.
Russ and
We thought the Tim Tebow.
That was bad. That was rough.
This would be just like that. But I want to ask Mike this, though, Mike. At what point is Sean Payton going to make the play to try and run and take more power from George Payton, who put the team in this mess? Because at some point, doesn't he have to be held accountable?
I think that happened the day he walked in the door, and I think the conversation, and we talked about this all summer, was like, as soon as Russell Wilson hit a bump in the road, Sean Payton was going to see this as an opportunity. If you look at Green Jackson, Brandon Gregory, this is Sean's team. He didn't trade for Russell Wilson. He didn't pay him, and this is his signal to the organization that I'm in charge, buck stops with me, and basically he was playing with house money. If it worked with Russell Wilson, I'm a genius. If it didn't, it's not my fault. And he's clearing the decks. And to me, Bart, he is clearly in charge.
No doubt. But, I mean, look, the big decision he has made is I'm in charge and Russell Wilson is not the guy. But I am curious what everybody else thinks. Kimberly, I mean, do you think there's going to be a market for Russell Wilson this offseason?
There will be a market because there are always so many QB needy teams, right, when the offseason hits. But when I thought about, you know, they're going to be the obvious Commanders, you know, Steelers, Falcons, Patriots, like all these teams that kind of have guys but don't have a clear direction. I got to be honest, I don't see Russ as a fit anywhere unless Russ is going to say, yeah, I'll go in and compete with Daniel Jones. Yeah, I'll go in and compete with Kenny Pickett. Like, I just don't see that. So where you mentioned Joe Flacco, Baker, like all these guys said, okay, I'll go in, I'll compete. I think that, you know, I'm going to sign as a guy. I'll be the backup. I just don't know. If Russ is fine with that, then obviously there's going to be a home for him somewhere.
I think the biggest thing is we're going to see how much he really loves football, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to really Great see point. How much he loves football, because when you are as established as a guy like Russell Wilson has been in this league for quite some time,
high profile,
you're that right high profile type That's guy. So, yeah. Now you're in a situation where nothing's going to be handed to you.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be in a situation where you might have to compete with another veteran or maybe a rookie for a starting job next year. Knowing that I got $39 million coming my way regardless.
Guaranteed.
Like what do you know, in his mind is like, okay, I can chill and collect this $39 million,
right.
Or I really love football and I'm going to go out here and compete maybe with somebody else for a job.
Why not just sit on the couch until somebody has an injury and then you go boom?
Because he wants to represent himself the right way, because if he doesn't know the offense, this is a guy that was, you know, protected by Pete Carroll. Who knew how much he was protected by Pete Carroll, and being afraid to go out there and play bad football, you know what I mean, it could only hurt the brand even more.
The interesting thing, you talk about love of the game. I was looking at the contract last night. It has offset language. So, like, what that means is the $39 million, anything he signs for next year with another team, the Broncos get that back. He can't make any money unless somebody gives him $40, right?
So, like, pay me a dollar. We want it.
Well, for me, I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers because I like the two young running backs that they have, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. I like the wide receivers that they have, even though they've been a few bump in the roads, but George Pickens is an unbelievable young cat that can be better and I think will be better over time. I also like the simple fact that you got a tight end, a security blanket, and you have that defense on the opposite side that can really back Russ up if things don't look the way they want it to look early on.
Yeah.
That is a great suggestion in theory. Here's the thing. The Steelers were in this position a couple years ago, before they drafted Pickett. Like, they could have gone out, and talking to people in that organization, they're like, we don't go out and get high price free agent. We just right. don't.
But it won't be high price, though.
He can pay for the minimum.
Is Russ going?
Well, he can pay for the minimum because he's getting his money
regardless. $39 million regardless.
Yeah. So he's going to get $39 million.
Okay.
So he's going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks next year regardless.
I've also watched Pittsburgh a lot this year. And from the quarterback position.
Yeah.
I'm not pleased at all.
You're not like
you're not pleased. Not at all. I'm not pleased. Harry is not pleased.
Mason Rudolph is the answer.
I'm not pleased at all.
Mike T, I go back to the summer and the early part of this season, and you were talking a lot about that, you know, how this might not work in Denver. Russell maybe not the kind of quarterback that Peyton really wanted. So, like, is there a place where, like, he fits better, or do you think those flaws show up wherever he goes?
Yeah, Dan, it's a great point. I always felt like with Sean, you know, he's very much about structure, progression, and Russ is at his best out of structure, getting the ball down the field, making plays outside the pocket. So, to me, I agree with a lot of what these guys have said. And look, we just don't know who some of these coordinators are going to be, but those are the teams, in my opinion, that will be looking for quarterbacks. Certainly Pittsburgh and New England, but I would put Atlanta and New Orleans up there because they're sort of in a win-now mode. So I would say of all those teams, probably New Orleans. But again, we don't know what's going to happen with the coordinator situation. But I think, you know, D Wood also made a great point. Like, how much does he love football? Because he's going to be with his third team now, a little bit of a journeyman. Look, Baker Mayfield swallowed a lot of humble pie, came out the other end. Is Russell Wilson prepared to do that? That's, to me, going to be the interesting part of next offseason.
Yeah, I mean, look, you mentioned New Orleans. They got it. They got Derek Carr there for $30 million next year because this exact same thing happened to him last year in Vegas, to the point where it was also Stidham, oddly enough, that they put in for him. Yeah. Mike T, thanks for joining us. Much more on this as we go along. But Bowl Mania rolls on today on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Four games. Starts at 11 Eastern with the Wasabi Fenway Bowl between number 24 SMU and Boston College.
Wasabi.
Look at that pinstripe bowl. Harry Douglas is going to be there for the Rutgers-Miami game there. And it ends with the game of the day, the Valero Alamo Bowl between 14th-ranked Arizona and 12th-ranked Oklahoma.
When we come back on Get Up, after getting run over by the Bills and the Dolphins, the Cowboys are back home and on upset alert. Why one of our analysts says the Lions will roar on Saturday night. Plus, it's the sensation that's sweeping the nation. That boy bad. Harry is here with a taste of what's to come.
Man, that boy bad.
Oh, no, 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 no. Man, that boy bad.
That boy bad.
Boom. Oh, oh, damn, Greeny.
That boy's bad. That boy's bad.
My goodness, Greeny.
That boy bad.
So watch it. Come here. Oh. You're going. Oh, my goodness. That boy bad. Let's do it again.
That boy bad.
It's Thursday, and that means it's time for That Boy Bad, which is a segment that really needs no introduction, but we still give it a great one.
Yes, Roz, listen, That Boy Bad is on my hat. Shout out to Hatrimony, gave me my brim, my brother-in-law. So we're going to lean with the hat today on That Boy Bad. Number one on the list today, we got Amari Smooth, route runner Cooper. Look at the toe drag on the sideline. Make your body lean. Your body got to go limp at some point. Look at Amari Cooper at the top of the route. Boom, boom. Come here, young buck. Showing the young buck how to do it. But this one, we used to call this blazer. Oh, is it going to be a no, it's going to be a touchdown. Why? Because Amari Cooper, y'all, dead boy, bad.
I wasn't ready.
Number two on the list, we got a rookie. Puka Nacua. That's who we got. Touchdown Nacua, man, fourth right now in the National Football League in receiving yards. But check out this catch right here, man. This is a rook right here. We say, hey, rook, go make it happen. Woo. Say, I got you, old buck. Yeah. No problem. We gonna make it happen, baby. But check out this. This is what I really love.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani. That boy got his own money. When I say that boy got his own money,
the boy got his own money.
Puka Nacua. That boy bad. Last but not least, listen, we got on George Pickens, didn't we?
We did.
But hey, George Pickens said, I gotta show up. I'm gonna run a simple slant. And I'm gonna take it to the house. I don't care if you whip my hand warmer off. I'm taking it to the end zone. Go, George, go. That's one touchdown. But check this out. Check out this catch. Down the sideline. Oh, my body control, everything from George Pickens. That's what Mike Tomlin needs. That's what Mike Tomlin wanna see every day. And that last one down the sideline, let him know. You said y'all can keep talking. I ain't listening to y'all. George Pickens, dead boy, bang.
Oh, my knee.
All I'm saying is it's a good thing he didn't need any of his teammates to block for him on those plays because we don't know. We don't know. Maybe they would have. Maybe they don't want to get hurt. I don't know.
I know his wide receiver coach, Frisman Jackson.
Yeah.
He don't coach that nonsense that George Pickens was doing.
Now, they look like somebody did some coaching out there last week.
That's right.
That's for sure. That, no doubt about it. Hey, we're looking ahead now to a Saturday night showdown that gets Week 17 started. It is Dak Prescott and the Cowboys looking to rebound against the Lions in a pivotal NFC matchup. Dallas currently sitting one game behind the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East, but they face the newly crowned NFC North champion in what could be a playoff preview. It's a matchup that our former Cowboy Marcus Spears doesn't like for Dallas. Listen to this.
This is a terrible matchup for Dallas when it comes to their defense. This is bad. Now, based on what they have had the inability to do in defending the run and having to play Detroit, if that play action comes alive because they are running with success, this team can blow the doors off of you.
Now, sometimes, like, a fan, like, tries to do the reverse psychology thing, right? And
that's what you think Marcus is doing?
I don't think Marcus is above that, is all I'm saying, right? But you think maybe he's right. Are they on upset alert?
Hell yeah, they're on upset alert.
7-0 at home.
Yeah, I get it. They're Jekyll and Hyde when it's on the road and versus at home. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The Detroit Lions, third in the league in rushing, their identity is based in the trenches right up front. What's the one thing we talk about with the Dallas Cowboys?
Can't stop the run.
They can't stop the run. Yeah. We can't take you seriously. We always talking, Bart knows this. When you get to this point of the year, defense travels. If you want to be taken seriously, defense has to travel. And the one thing we've seen now for the Dallas Cowboys defensively, they've been getting bludgeoned up front. And Dan Campbell and those boys in the 3-1-3, they're going to bring David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, down to Jerry's Wheel and give them a taste of what's been going on with Detroit all year long because they're built the right way. They're built for the playoffs. Mm. That's the way the Detroit Lions are right now.
And I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, three of their four losses, right? Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, Buffalo Bills, they really beat the Dallas defense up rushing the football and being that, and being physical. So when I look at this team and you look at what the Buffalo Bills did recently to them, and you got a small guy at the linebacker position, you don't think Dan Campbell, who's an offensive guy, a former tight end, you don't think he's going to take advantage of that if Dallas haven't adjusted, if Dan Quinn haven't adjusted in those regards? They're going to try to do some of the same things that three of their four losses that happened to them this weekend. And I'll tell you this. I do believe Dak Prescott has an edge against the secondary of the Detroit Lions, but if you're not controlling the clock and you have the football, that means your possessions are limited. Mm. So that means they're going to become that much more valuable when you do have the football.
What do you think? Dallas on upset alert?
Oh, no, they need to be. But I've also covered the Lions against the Ravens, where they got beat down, and, in New Orleans against the Saints, where they allowed the Saints to come close to actually pulling off
you
that upset.
You went in New Orleans by yourself.
Anyway.
Look at you.
Harry.
Everything good over there?
Had a good time.
All right.
But even after that game with Montgomery, talking to him post-game, he was ticked off because he's like, we should not have even allowed that to be close. We didn't play our best game. So both teams have issues with consistency. I think this game clearly is I don't want to say clearly. I think there's we're going to learn more about the Cowboys because I think this is a team that we have higher expectations for only because the Lions are just turning around. This is the beginning of their turnaround under Campbell. This is a team that finally makes it to the postseason in winning the division in the first 30 years.
This is a bigger game for the Cowboys or the Lions?
For me, the Lions are already locked everything up. You know, right now they're just playing with house money, maybe working with the seeding to get a better matchup. Listen, Dallas should be happy where they are because I think if the playoffs, you know, ended today, they will play with Tampa. So I don't know how many
and
games.
Tampa doesn't run the football.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
Great
like,
matchup.
So listen, styles make fights, right? And, you know, their first round matchup would be, you know, right where they would want to be. I don't know if they really want to move out of that and have to face somebody else. When you look at it, also when you look at Dallas, I think last week they did something that I suggested, and I think it'll work out if they move Michael Parsons back to middle linebacker to stop that. And we've sat here for years, and we were both in the league at the same time when you look at the worst defense in stopping a run was the Indianapolis Colts. And then at some point you get pissed off because your manhood is challenged. I think Dan Quinn's going to have to start maybe run blitzing early on downs and trying to put more guys, more pressure on those guys on the outside. Now, Ross St. Brown is a great player, but he's more of a horizontal runner. So you can sit up and get away with adding guys to the box and making sure that you know, have a top on the defense. So I expect them to do a lot more run blitzes and more fits and start making the ball bounce to a predictable place and funneling the ball to their best player, Michael Parsons. You know, and they'll make the adjustment. But coaching matters, and we're going to see what type of adjustments they can make because clearly it's a problem. So they have to, you know, patch up that game. And we watched it when the Colts won the Super Bowl. They were the worst rush defense in football, but during the playoffs, they were able to do that for a couple of weeks.
I think it's imperative for Dallas to make Detroit one-dimensional.
Right.
Because if they're balanced –
they can't rush the passer.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're one-dimensional, now you can tee off and you can go get Jared Goff and you can force him into the mistakes that we've seen him make at times this season. But if they're balanced offensively,
right,
boy, it's going to be a long day for Dallas defensively.
And that to do that, you have to present. To me, you have to make them want to throw the ball. You got to put such a heavy box that's saying, okay, listen, I'd rather put it on Gilmore and Bland on the outside than put it on my 205-pound inside linebacker. So you do that.
I want to say this. All that sounds great. It's going to be easier said than done. But let me tell you something. That young man, Jahmyr Gibbs, he is hitting his stride at the right time. Like, literally.
Fresh legs.
A home run threat on any given play. And when you got contrasting styles in the backfield, it's hard to contend with, especially with that group up front that the Detroit Lions have.
Fascinating matchup. Two teams that are going to be in the playoffs and two teams that we have questions about, right? The Lions haven't been in the playoffs in forever.
Everybody's
and the Cowboys
flawed.
Haven't had success in the playoffs in a long time. So, fascinating matchup on Saturday night. We're going to pick that game a little bit later on. But right now, I got to get to the performance of the night from the NBA. Kevin Durant and the Suns lost 9 of their last 12 coming into last night's game. They're taking on the Rockets. Pick up the action in the second quarter. Suns have the ball up 8. This is Durant for an open Eric Gordon who sinks the 3. Suns go up 11. Later in the quarter, they're up by 13. Durant runs the pick and roll at the top of the key and finds Gordon on the wing for another 3. Suns up 16. Then the next Suns possession, Durant drives to the basket, kicks it to Gordon. Are we sensing a theme here? Suns lead by 18 at the half. Under 3 minutes left in the game, Suns are up by 13. Durant posts up, draws a double team, and hits the turnaround jumper. He says, I don't need Eric Gordon. I can score it myself. The Suns take a big lead there. Enter the ensuing Suns possession. Devin Booker to Durant on the wing. He hits the three. Durant's first triple-double as a Sun, and the Suns win 129-113.
It's amazing to get back on the winning side. It sucks losing and having a tough stretch in the NBA. It's one of the worst feelings to have. And regardless of how many games we play in the season, what our expectations are at the end of the season, just getting a win, sometimes you can take that for granted. So I'm excited about the W tonight.
Kevin Durant last night became the 10th player in NBA history to record a triple-double for four different teams. It was his first triple-double since November of last season.
We take him for granted.
When we come back, the Bronco breakup. Russell Wilson, you'll hear what he had to say about being sent to the bench. And is he done with Denver? We're going to talk about that next.